morning, world. Good morning, America. Good morning. Good afternoon, Eastern East United States. Good evening, UK. Good day tomorrow. Good day today. We're all over the world. Hey, Amanda, how you doing? This is the Andy and Amanda Show. How's it going? Well, I thought Amanda was here. I just talked to her. I thought she was on. I don't know what happened. She was on. Very strange. I don't know. Very strange indeed. Hey, folks. Hi, this is the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda will be back on, I'm sure. Because we were just talking on our screening capability here on the Block Talk Radio program feed. And, as you know, this is show number, I think, God, we've been doing this over a year and 3 months. This is show 340-something, rather, for the Andy and Amanda program. So glad to be with you. So glad to be talking about the various things that affect all of us in the news and politics and issues and social issues and sports and entertainment. Hello. Hey, Amanda, you're back. Hello. I lost you there for a minute.
Again, I was chatting away to you saying good everything to everybody and that I was doing great. And we've got that Monday madness again, right?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it really is interesting. On Monday shows, you can always expect some kind of technical glitch. It's almost like, because we were just on here on the same, we were talking right before we went on. And I heard you fine and you were fine. And all of a sudden, the show starts and you disappear.
I know.
And it happens either with, on your end or my end, every single Monday.
I don't get it, Andy.
For a while now.
Yeah. I really don't get it. It's always Mondays. Always Mondays without fail.
It is. I was thinking for a while that it was just all coincidence, whatever, did something wrong, right? And set it up right or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And, just kind of chalking it up, right, Mondays. But I know now that it truly is a Monday thing.
It's so bizarre. I was literally about to say as well, I said, good, because you were saying good morning, good afternoon, and all that kind of thing to everybody. And I was like, good everything for everybody. And I was doing really good. And I was literally about to say, wow, we haven't had a problem go wrong on Monday. And then boom, you're like, Amanda? I'm like, oh, great, here we go.
Yep, that's really something.
Yeah, it really is.
Anyway, let's try it again. Good day, everybody. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. My name is Andy Kimball. I'm here in California. We have Amanda Love in the UK, 8,000 miles away. Two of us, again, we've never met. We were put together by our show coordinator. His name is Cornell Butler, you never know. Sometimes he calls in. He might join us again today. Who knows? But anyway, so this is show number 330-something or 340-something. I don't know, somewhere around there. But we've been at this a while now, and we've enjoyed presenting, our insights and perspectives of various issues affecting all of us in our lives somehow, whether it be the news, whether it be entertainment, whether it be sports, whether it be sex. And sex.
The list goes on.
Sex. Excuse me. And, it's just stuttering here. Tongue tied. Yes.
Most people enjoy that subject. Yeah.
They seem to be. Yes. It's funny. What generates the most callers? You talk about this relationships thing that we've done from time to time, and love and sex and being related and dating and that whole whatever you want to call that. I guess being related. I guess that's what it comes down to, one way or another. But it seems that when we talk about that area, it draws the most attention and the most callers, interestingly enough.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's one of those predominant things, isn't it, in the world that everybody's just wanting to be a part of in some way. So
yeah,
and this is the thing that is most talked about amongst people, the thing that's most chased after,
Yeah, I know. Our number to join Amanda and myself here on the show is in the USA. It's 515-605-9888. You're also free, and we encourage you to reach out and contact the show by email. And the email address is, email address is andyandamandashow@gmail.com. I know it's Monday, Andy, wake up. What I say was andyandamandashow@gmail.com, and you can do that during the show. We'll send you a link to get on. If you have a headset and so forth, you could join the show that way as well. And you're certainly welcome to do just that. So anyway.
Absolutely. Come talk to us. Let us know what you think and feel, and comment on what we're talking about. And you never know, it might be a fun and entertaining conversation, and we'll be polite most of the time.
We will. We won't. Well, we might be. There's no guarantee there.
Well, there's no guarantee, no.
You know, Megan and Marky had a baby in California over the weekend, I think it was.
Yeah. Congratulations to her.
Megan and Marky, is that his name?
Meghan Markle.
Oh, that's her name.
Yeah.
I thought it was both.
No.
I was going on thinking Megan and Marky. Marky and Marky had a baby. That sounds like a movie.
I was trying to remember what I called their first baby. I remember I kept getting his name wrong. I can't remember what I called him now. It was so funny. I think I called him Archie or something like that. And unless that's
Archie,
the real name.
You called him Archie?
I can't remember. I like it. It's funny. You kept getting his name wrong. Was it Oscar? I don't know.
Make it an Oscar. Yeah, Oscar and Archie had a baby. Yeah. Anyway, they had a little baby boy. They named it after Queen Elizabeth and the late Princess Diana. Yes, so the little boy's name is Elizabeth Diana.
The little boy? You mean little girl?
Oh, it's a girl. I'm sorry.
Just say that little boy's going to grow up with some serious issues. You've been called Elizabeth.
It was a girl. I thought it was a boy. I don't know. I know they had a baby. I thought it was a boy, and they named it after Diana. I don't know what it means. What else? Better not leave it up to me. You know, what else I screw up here?
Oh, that's funny. Well, congratulations to them. That's a great thing. I know that she couldn't get over for Philip's funeral because she was way pregnant, and now she's had the little baby. That's beautiful. Aww.
Yeah.
I'm happy for
them. Yeah, it's great, great. They're enjoying their lives here in California. They really, they live about 80-90 minutes just north of me here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I invited them down to the barbecue. I never heard back.
Oh, that's a shame, Andy. That's a shame. I'm sure they would have loved it.
They would have. Honestly, they would have. They would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
My friends, Megan and Marky. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Megan and Marky. Megan and Diana? Mary?
Harry.
I like Mary better. Megan and Mary. Yeah. So Mary, you worked at the neighborhood deli. So Mary, what do we have today, Mary? So that's her second child, and it's great news for the royal family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess they kind of disassociated themselves from that whole
royal. I'm not surprised.
Business. Yeah.
With everything that went on, you know, the craziness. It's kind of died down a bit here with the news about that. And the media's kind of laid off Meghan for a while, but I'm sure they'll be all over again with the baby situation. Bless them. I get a moment's peace. But there's lots going on. We've got the Queen's Jubilee coming up, which is a four-day bank holiday weekend for us from Thursday, 2nd of June. Yeah.
Do I hear a little cat in the background?
There is a dog barking
in the
distance.
So.
I apologize to our listeners for the random dog barking in the background there. If I end up using my mic, you won't hear anything I say. Maybe that's a good thing.
Just to be clear, it is not a cat. It is a dog.
No, it's not a cat. It's a dog barking in the distance. But yeah, I've got that for a 4-day holiday weekend, which is pretty cool. So from Thursday, 2nd of June to Sunday, the 5th, there's going to be all sorts of events, including a pageant with 5,000 performers. That should be pretty cool. A live concert at Buckingham Palace called the Platinum Party at the Palace. And it's going to have the world's biggest entertainment stars. Woohoo! So we shall see. You should be prancing around on the stage, singing their hearts out. Bless them. That should be fun. So yeah, it's gonna be very, very good. She's celebrating her 70-year reign. How cool is that? 70 years. I mean, wow. That is something. Mm. Fair play to the woman. Fair play. You've done really well. 70 years, you know, being the queen of our country, seeing us through thick and thin, and all the hardships that she's had to face. And it can't be easy being queen, having to be a certain way. You know, everybody else gets to be free in themselves, but you've got to, you know, to that way of being. And that takes some discipline. Wow. Incredible.
That's cool. So what is he carrying exactly? What is that about? What is that?
It's to mark her 70-year mark as queen, basically, my darling.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So big celebration.
How old is she?
Should be a lot of fun.
She's 90-something she's 90, now.
She's 96.
96. Wow.
She will be 96 by the time her jubilee arrives. So, yeah. That's going to be pretty cool. Pretty cool. I look forward to seeing all the events that are being aired and stuff like that. Shame I can't be there to go and witness it, but I don't know what the COVID restrictions are on that, whether they have any in place. I'm sure they will, surely. Because we're still not out of lockdown fully yet. They're meant to be announcing us coming out of lockdown 12th of June, but they're saying that they're going to delay that even further because they're concerned. Sorry, 21st of June, not 12th. I got the numbers back to front, but they're delaying it because of concerns that we've still got, you know, COVID cases. Like past 24 hours, we've had like 5,683 cases, I think it was, and one death. So they still trying to keep, you know, an eye on things, and they're monitoring the data and saying, well, look, you know, if this doesn't look too good, then we're going to delay coming out of this lockdown even further. So that looks like that's happening, but. You know, people are still happy that they're getting to socialize and stuff like that, so that's pretty cool.
So you're feeling things ease up there. Things are definitely easing up in the UK.
Definitely. And everybody seems so much more happier. I'm hearing people in their gardens and barbecues with family and friends, and everywhere I go, I smell the coal and the food cooking, and it's always making me hungry 24/7. And
barbecue is my favorite. I am the barbecue king. I love to barbecue. It is my thing. I like it.
That's amazing.
I hear a song coming. I am the barbecue king. I can barbecue most anything.
Ooh.
Barbecuing is my thing. Yes. No, I really do. I truly do enjoy barbecue, though. It's probably my favorite, you know. We talked cooking last week. We started talking. I'm gonna reveal. I think one of these shows coming up. I'm gonna reveal my favorite recipes, my favorite barbecue recipes. I'm gonna reveal.
You know, that sounds cool.
On the show.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah. Kind of like a summer theme, like.
Yes, people are saying recipe. Andy. Exactly. People are saying Andy, how do you do it? Like, what is your secret? I'm gonna reveal how I do what I do. In the kitchen. Let's be very clear.
Yeah.
At the barbecue
grill. Dedicate to a special kind of like summer themed recipes and all sorts of like fun activities to do over the summer. And yeah.
Let's do it. I agree.
Let's do it. I love these themed shows.
Why not do it?
So
heartily think
you
that would be
reveal
wonderful.
Your greatness. Yeah, reveal your greatness, Andy.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just kind of like a modest, sensitive, new age guy, you know.
You know, I've been, you know, I've had to refrain from revealing my greatness on many occasions. So yeah, I totally understand.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, no.
But
happy days.
So. Happy days, I agree. Do you know, in the news here, you know, it looks like the country's going to fall slightly short of Joe Biden's desire to have 70% of the American population inoculated or anti-COVID virus or vaccinated, however you want to say it, by July 4th.
Okay.
But he's not going to be far off. It looks like we're going to be in the 60s, in the percentile there, 60s, where he was looking for 70, that magic number of 70, where they felt that if we get 70% of the population vaccinated, then this thing will be well on its way out just through the herd immunity process. He's going to be a little short of that, but not very much short. And, you know, there's been, you know, companies are now giving away, I think we talked about this earlier, free beer. And Ohio has a lottery now. You can win $1 million if you get vaccinated. You have an opportunity to win $1 million. Yeah. And it's college scholarships, complete ride, including room and board, and these, to get the teens, younger folks vaccinated. Mm. And that's what's going on now. They're really, corporate America is stepping in and saying, hey, get vaccinated. We'll give you money. This is free. We'll give you education. What they're doing is really stepping up the awareness of how important it is to get vaccinated if you're capable of getting vaccinated. And now the vaccines, either the J&J, the Pfizer, or the Modelo, has been so Moderna, I'm sorry, the Moderna, has been so widely distributed that, corner drugstores are now, your grocery store, and especially, of course, municipalities and stadium parking lots and, tents, throughout the country. I mean, everybody now lives very, very close, no matter where you live, in the United States. You live very close to a area where you can get vaccinated. And what's it seems to be the slowest region in this process is the South, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. They seem to be, it's that same area where we had most of the issues with people saying it's my right not to wear a mask and not caring about their fellow citizens or their family members or friends who they might infect. They didn't care. It's all about their own chest and saying it's my right not to if I don't want to. Hey, listen, it's your right not to smoke in a public place, and you can't do that either, but you don't light up, do you? Can't smoke in an airplane, but you don't light up there, do you?
No.
You're masking. It's about other people, not about you. But now it's not the mask thing. Now it's the vaccine. I don't want to get vaccinated. It's my right. You can't make me get a vaccine. Well, and the thing is that people who do not, no matter where you live in the world, if you don't get vaccinated, you are susceptible to contracting COVID-19, which could potentially kill you or at least make you very sick. And if not that, if neither of those, can definitely spread to somebody else and make them sick and die if they have not been vaccinated. So it's about our population. It's about who we are as people, who we are as society, who we are as a species, and doing the right thing. And
I've seen so many things over the past few days regarding this whole vaccination thing, and other things as well, such as treating cancer. So one of the first things I saw was about that doctor from China who was kind of classed as the whistleblower, saying about the virus coming from a lab. And now they're saying that the possibility is even stronger that it was part of a warfare thing that was planned. So I haven't read too much into that. I just saw it briefly. I thought, okay, that's something to possibly look at a later point. And also there's been a lot of talk, about, so if we're, tackling this COVID problem, why aren't we tackling things like cancer? A better cure for cancer, because, there's been so many people over the years that have been denied approval for medicines and things like that, that have successfully treated and cured cancer within people. And unfortunately, it's been rejected. Because then you got the people coming forward angered by this, saying, okay, well, that's because cancer is one of the biggest money making things for the health industry, for government, by purchasing medicines and things like that to try and resolve the cancer problem within people. So there's always that argument with money and power versus truly wanting to save people. And I've heard that so many times over the years. It's been so crazy. And I think to myself, well, if we can all, you know, pull together like we did to try and help this pandemic, surely we can be doing it in other health areas. And I think that would be a great thing to do. And actually, talking of such, I see the US is approving a new Alzheimer's drug, which
Tackles
the actual cause and not the symptoms, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah, I was just reading that, actually. It's funny you bring that up. I was going to talk about that in the news. but you beat me to it. And you're absolutely correct. No, I'm glad you did. It's good because it's you know, you were just talking about, you know, medical breakthroughs and what we're capable of doing, you know, you know, as Joe Biden has said many a time during his campaign and since becoming president, if, you know, it's amazing what we can do, and we can do anything if we do it together as people, no matter where we live.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's talking about America. America can do anything. We can do anything. We can accomplish anything if we unite and do it together and make a commitment of doing it. And that, and I think, and I believe it's what you were saying earlier, so many of us have family members or friends, loved ones, acquaintances who have been affected by cancer. So many of us have known people and lost family members to cancer. And what a disease. And you know, when I was growing up as a kid, it was heart attack, heart disease, heart attack. How did you die? How did you die? Heart attack.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, you know, heart disease is treatable. You could treat heart disease and prevent heart disease. You can prevent it in many cases. You can, but cancer is one of those things where there's just so many question marks. And I was talking to an oncologist, I'm going back years ago, who worked under my dad, who was chief of medicine at a very big Philadelphia teaching university, you know, hospital.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what's the future of, we're talking about this very thing, you know, and I asked him, what do you see as the future? You know, what's going to happen down the road in cancer treatment? And he said, what you'll see, somebody will get diagnosed for cancer. They'll do an analysis of what type of cancer, how it got there, and you come in the next week, you get a shot. Okay, next. Boom.
Wow.
Next. And
yeah,
I thought that was, you know, a couple of years down the road. Well, I'm talking about this conversation occurred, and I can think back when this must have been, because I was still a pilot at the time.
Wow.
It must have happened in the 90s, some point in the 90s. But anyway, but, you know, here we are, and give credit where credit is due. You know, many folks' lives have been saved by cancer cures and so forth, like you were just saying earlier.
Yeah.
You know, there have been many, many, many breakthroughs, but it's not those big breakthroughs. Like, how do we prevent this? I always thought, like, if you just got, you know, cancer's, you know, good cells turn bad and they keep reproducing, you know? And I always thought that can't you just, you know, send like a messenger in your body that says, if the cell does not have this DNA makeup, destroy it. And you just the injection, and all these little soldiers walk, you know, march through your body. And, you know, as they travel in your blood throughout the entire body, any cells that do not resemble, have your DNA structure, they get destroyed. Bam, 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 bam.
You
know, that's what I thought would potentially happen. And I think, you know, stem cell research, you know, you're starting to see a lot of stem cell research type of talk in papers and presentations. And that being, you know, the direction of where cures for this disease are going to come from. But I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask. But it's like, you know, again, just to reiterate what you were saying earlier.
Yeah,
If we could, over 17, 18-year period now, come up with a brand-new technology to inoculate the human body against a god-awful virus, and it took 17 and a half years to do it. Cancer's been around a really long time. How cool, you know, what – of course, I know they're not the same ball game and not the same land.
No.
I'm sure Fauci, you could go into it deeply and say, well, you're not talking about anywhere near the same physiology, anywhere near the same biochemistry. You can't even compare apples and apples here. But it's not the matter of comparing apples and apples. It's the matter of the human ability, our intelligence, our science. You know, can we do something? You know? And we've made major breakthroughs, you know, but still not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I wonder?
What's that?
Heart disease, breast cancer, brain cancer, this, lung cancer, lung disease, but all these different diseases. And the list goes on. And there's all these associations and societies that fundraise to support research to so many different diseases.
Hmm.
If somebody handed, I don't know, the American Heart Association, you pick, and multiple sclerosis, just, I don't care, whoever, they're going to cure the disease?
Yeah.
I don't think it's just money. You know what I mean? Here's $1 billion. $1 billion just for your, to fund research to cure this disease A. Here's $1 billion. Is it going to be fixed?
Yeah.
I don't think it's just money.
No, but I guess that goes a long way, doesn't it, to having the right things and having the freedom within that money to create the right environments to tackle it, I guess. Maybe that's part of the reason why a lot of it hasn't been discovered as such. I don't even know why it's been denied. There's plenty of doctors and all sorts that have come forward over the years and said, look, I've treated hundreds of thousands of people with this. I've managed to cure everyone that I've treated. And, you know, the FDA's been like, no, sorry, not happening. They wouldn't sign it over. And for whatever reason, they obviously had their reasons for it, but there's been plenty of people that's come forward with proof that they've been able to do it. And it's just not been accepted for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So, you can find, information about that all over the internet.
The interesting thing too is we've made tremendous strides in research for curing diseases and illnesses of course many other issues that confront the human species over the years, but we can say that our lifespan has definitely increased over the past decade.
Very much so. Very much so. We're living way longer now. Way longer. Like, people are living over 100 years old, and there was a time when we were living to only like 70 or 60. And that'll probably get longer and longer as time goes on. I did hear about something once years ago, and I forgive me, listeners, for not remembering the details. Maybe it's something you can find online if you're interested. But talking about how humans are meant to live to, been known to live up to 200 years old. And that blew my mind when I thought about that. I was like, 200? What? What is this?
What? It's interesting. The exact duration of a human life is truly a big question mark. It's unknown. Although there is presumably a maximum lifespan for the human race established in the genetic material. Somehow, somewhere, at first thought. But this statement, that doesn't seem to be rational.
It's not rational. I think it's because there are people years, I think it was like maybe times of Jesus, around about that era.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading something once that somebody ended, some people lived till 200 years old, that blew my mind, and they were saying due to the things they were eating and the more simple environment that they had, that the lifestyle and the simplicity, they didn't have the same toxic environments, which explains a lot. Our air is polluted. We're under way more stress now, and we're suffering with things like mental breakdowns and depression because our psychological aspect of being as human now, living in this crazy world, fast-paced, moving, stressful environment is just, there's all these things in place that literally diminishing our lives because,
and all these habits and so forth. Interesting thing is just in a normal, for the longest time, think about, 1700s when, people, the average life was, if you're 40 years old, you're an old man, right? You're 45 years old, you're old, very old, 50, 60. But it's interesting now, as you just stated, to live over 100 now is not uncommon. You know, like, oh, no. You're 102, congratulations. Oh, this is 106, you know. But here's the interesting thing. Like, there's no verified instance of any human being ever having lived, I don't know, 150 years, let's say, right? Mm. But this number, for the purpose of, let's just say, illustration, just, you know, put, okay, 150 years, okay? If you arbitrarily accept that as the maximum limit of the span of a human life, let's say somebody said a while back, several decades ago, 100 years old. But if the possibility is admitted that the individual can live that long, that's 150, 100, whatever, then there's no valid reason for rejecting the possibility that someone other than that person could live 100 years old or 150 years old plus 1 minute. Yeah. Now, when you think about it, if somebody could live 150 years in 1 minute, then how about 150 years in 2 minutes, and so on and so on.
Mm.
So thus based on existing knowledge of longevity, a precise figure for the span of a human life you can't really give it because there's people who live over 100. I mean, it's not, you know. So I wonder what is nobody's going to ever live 1,000 years.
No. Well, I don't think so.
No.
Maybe a future, you know, evolved version of humanity. You know, you see some, like, a mixture of the Jetsons and stuff you see in a sci-fi movie. Maybe we get to live to 1,000 years old with some special technology that slows down our aging. And but that would be a fun idea, but I know. I mean, there's this guy once that I came across. He was supposedly an expert, you know, studied dogs, the canines, for years, and their health. And from his scientific research and everything he's based it on, he discovered that the lifespan of a dog should be about 20 to 30 years old. And the reason it's not is simply down to the types of foods that we feed our dogs, which causes, like, you know, diabetes and cancer and heart failure and all those types of things. Because one, dogs are not meant to have salt in their diet because the body of a dog cannot rid that salt the way humans' bodies can. So eventually that salt builds up and causes so many health issues for the dog. And you find that in all sorts of dog food, even dog biscuits, and even vets, you know, who are aware of this situation, still sell dog food on their premises with salt in it. So go figure. And, you know, you get all the bad bits of the meat thrown in dog food and you know, the list goes on. So it's not necessarily good. And there's been lots of evidence over the years suggesting that if you feed dogs a more human diet with vegetables and all sorts of things, you know, you prolong their lifespan. And, you know, I did an experiment with this. I should say my ex did, and we started feeding the dog more human food rather than dog food. I swear that dog didn't go to the vets once. And his coat was absolutely stunning. It was soft all the time. Everybody
where'd
was always commenting on its health.
Where
did I get it?
Macy's?
Yeah, right? Yeah, we really looked after it. But it was incredible to see that change in him. He's not doing too good now simply because of his breed. He's a border collie, so his joints are stiff now.
Beautiful
dog.
So
he's always
That's
spinning
gorgeous.
Around. Yeah, he's running everywhere. So of course, humans, you know, the joints start to seize up and get old. He's got arthritis, but you know, he's doing good. Doing good, bless him. No other health problems, so that's been, you know, great. And I'm not saying that's, you know, the perfect evidence, obviously, but, you know, to witness that from the changes that we made at the time was just incredible. So I'm not talking like processed food. I'm talking about, you know, like a bit of rice, a bit of pasta, vegetables, yogurt mixed in because that's good for all sorts of things. But,
you know what I did yesterday?
What's that? Tell me, Andy.
Well, I'll tell you everything I did yesterday. No, I'll tell you what I did yesterday. I was out, I think I told you earlier on the phone there or whatever, I was doing some car shopping. And dealer to dealer. And stopped at McDonald's for a quick bite to eat. Had a spicy chicken sandwich or something like that.
Ooh, nice.
Can't believe, I've never go to McDonald's. It, you know, it wasn't half bad.
Oh, really? Wasn't. You enjoyed it? Awesome.
For a few bucks, it was not bad.
Yeah. I can't say that I go to McDonald's very often. When I do enjoy it because, you know, I'm a sucker for their Big Mac and the Big Tasty, they call it.
I broke my vegetarian diet as a teenager with a Big Mac.
You did?
I used to drive by my first year in college. I used to drive by. I was a vegetarian, and my family respected it. We go to holiday dinners and stuff, and my aunt and stuff would always have a vegetarian plate or platter for me. And it was very, I was really appreciative of my family supporting my vegetarian diet, my stance on the anti-killing of animals to eat them. And and I used to drive by this McDonald's, and they used to run this commercial on TV, two all beef patties, cheese, pickles, onions, lettuce, all on a sesame seed bun, bum, 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 bum. Anyway, so they ran this commercial, and I used to drive by this McDonald's every day and to school. And one day I finally broke down after being a vegetarian and said, I'm craving this Big Mac. and so went my vegetarian diet.
Oh, bless you.
I rarely
you ever
eat
go
red
back
meat
to it
now.
Or? No.
You know, I've never, as a matter of fact, when I went to school in Florida, Wednesday night, I used to just give me something to do. Wednesday night was my McDonald's night. I used to get a hamburger, a cheeseburger, french fries, an apple pie, and a milkshake or something for $1.42.
$1.42.
Yeah. Every Wednesday night, I walked about a mile down to McDonald's, and that was like my night out. I'm like, yay, I'm going out to eat tonight. Where are you going? McDonald's. Yay. You know, I'm a college student.
Yeah.
But I did that, you know. I'm not a vegetarian, but I will say that I do not eat much red meat at all. Very, very, very rarely. Occasionally.
Yeah. That's not such a bad thing, Andy, you know, considering, you know, the health benefits of not eating so much. It's good to have a good diet, but I think people eat way too much of it, and what causes a lot of health issues. But, I'm more of a chicken kind of girl. I'm mad about the chicken. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, everything's chicken to me.
Good to know, Andy. Good to know. I can just see you walking around. You know, you look at everything, and all you see is chickens. Oh yeah, that looks good.
You know, McDonald's alone, just McDonald's alone. This is just from McDonald's, reported that they sell an average of 75 hamburgers per second of a 24-hour
day.
Whoa,
that's a lot of meat.
As a result, hamburgers also account for 40% of the sandwiches sold in the United States.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
Wow. Wow.
That's just the U.S.
Yeah.
And, you know, hamburgers and beef are much more prevalent, much more dominant in Spain and Europe than they are even in America. You know, have you been to Madrid?
Not Madrid
at all.
No, no. Madrid.
Spain. So you may have seen this where you were in Spain as well, but I spent some time in Madrid, and and I was there, you know, 10 days or so. I was doing music and things, and you know, fun time. This 1993-ish or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, where was it? Yeah, it was Madrid. And what I noticed about Madrid was almost every block or a block and a half, there's these cafes, and an entire side of beef is hanging.
Whoa.
In the cafe. Cured meat, cured beef, everywhere. Everywhere, like a whole side of beef. Like you walk in, there's like, imagine, I don't know if you have Starbucks there or whatever, a coffee shop. Imagine having these big cafes. And we have audience over there, by the way. You know, we have people listening to the show who are there, who are probably nodding their heads saying, yep. I went to a restaurant with some folks, the host who brought me over there. Took me out with some friends of his. I went to a very, what was considered to be a very fine restaurant in Madrid. And we sit down, and they're talking Spanish. I took a little Spanish in high school, but not enough to have a conversation, really. But or I may have had enough Spanish education to have a conversation, but because I never attended class, I didn't learn anything. Okay, anyway, so so anyway, that's why I do a radio show today, you know. Anyway, no. So we sit down in this really nice restaurant, and a waiter comes out and shows us a raw piece of meat. And they nod, you know, my people I'm with, they all, oh, yeah, ha, 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 ha. No, no, excuse me, they're not Chinese. Oh, ho, 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 yes, no, they are not Chinese. Oh, they're not Chinese. Wrong country. Señor, no, it's Mexico. I'll get it right. All right, anyway. Monsieur. No, no, no. What would they say?
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever.
You got it right. Yeah.
Okay. They're very pleased with the waiter who's showing the raw meat. And I figured, okay.
Yeah.
And the guy told me to put my menu down. He said, he told me I'll order. You know, he took my menu away from me. The guy I'm with. No problem. I'm going to order. You know, I know what they have here. Really good. So the waiter comes over, brings the meat, and they all nod their heads. Yes, yes, yes. And then a couple minutes later, the waiter returns with a few rocks, like rocks you pick up on the ground, but they're like pieces of rock, and a plate, and more raw meat, and you put the meat on the plate on top of the rock, and you cook it yourself.
Wow!
I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this about? What the hell is this? You know what I'm saying? This I can do at home. What? You put a rock in my front of me. You put this dish on top of it. You expect me to cook my fucking piece of meat myself? What the hell?
Oh, man.
And I'm sure the bill was very high.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't pay me anything.
I know, right? You do all the work.
What kind of restaurant's this? You got to cook your own fucking meal. I'm telling you something.
Well,
man. Yeah, really.
I mean, some people go for that, but no, not me. I'd rather just go out and somebody bring me my food and I eat it. That's it.
I'm going to give you an interesting fact about beef.
Go for it, Andy.
Okay. To produce 1 pound of beef, you need 1,800 gallons of water.
Whoa!
A large part for supplying grain as feed. Sourcing this feed for beef production is also extremely wasteful of space. The total amount of land used in the U.S. for growing crops to feed humans is 8 times less than that used to feed cattle for beef.
Whoa.
Additional concerns surround the impact of beef production on greenhouse gases, with critics of the industry pointing out that in order to create each quarter pounder burger, 6.5 pounds of greenhouse gases must be released into the atmosphere that Andy has to breathe.
Right.
Hey, come here right here, Andy. We got something for you to breathe. Here's another 6.5 pounds. Go ahead. Inhale, go. Use the force, Luke. These oxide in the manure, in the shit, you know what I'm saying? Which has been known to leak.
Whoa.
Don't give a fucking diaper. Into the rivers and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. No, and cause further complications for wildlife.
Wow. That is crazy. That explains why Leonardo DiCaprio is such a big advocate for, you know, stopping people from eating and beef because of the environment that is needed for cows and stuff to feed. And from all those things you just shared, it's very evident as to why he's, you know, been protesting that over the years. Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah. And I wonder, did you ever wonder why a hamburger is called a hamburger? It's not made of ham, it's made of meat.
You know, that
Now, do you remember
question,
looking into this a while back?
It came to me many times over the course of my life, Andy.
And I think but we may have touched on this. It just rings a bell. I think we talked about this a long time ago. The origins of the hamburger, I think.
Yeah.
You know, 19th century or something like that, way back, early 19th or 20th century, somewhere in there. But I just wonder where – I just remember talking about that or briefly touching upon it. You know, how come it's
Maybe
called a hamburger?
Maybe some people thought it was some sort of ham originally. And the name stuck. I don't know.
The world's largest hamburger. Look at the Guinness Book of Records for the largest hamburger, and what you'll find is on September 2nd, 2012, in Carlton, Minnesota, Black Bear Casino Resort built a hamburger, made a hamburger, that weighed 2,014 pounds.
Whoa. Good Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, I watch these people sometimes. I've seen these people do these eating contests, and they're cramming all this red meat down. And I'm thinking to myself, do you know how long your body takes to digest that food? And they just keep going and going and going. I'm like, how is that possible, you know?
You know, for me, when I don't eat a lot of red meat. My daughter is vegan, and since she went to college, I had to tame that a little bit to go vegetarian. But basically, in my house, we maintain pretty much – I mean, I barbecue here and there. I'll make some chicken egg. And rarely, Memorial Day, I made a couple burgers, but they were good. Anyway, but we're mostly vegetarian here. We do a lot of salads and tofu and soy and – You know,
nice.
We don't do milk. We do oat milk, which is even more expensive than almond milk. But the process of making almond milk uses a lot of, water and greenhouse gas, whatever. I don't know. It's almond milk, which we were doing for a while, is more environmentally unfriendly than oat milk. So we upgraded to oat milk, pay more for that. But it's also oat milk because I must say, since we got oat milk, I find it to be creamier and better, more like regular milk than almond milk is, which tends to be a little watery. But anyway, so we are not, we are primarily. My family just kind of fell there. It wasn't like we're going to make this big, thing we're going to set up to be. It just kind of fell into place where we just don't get a lot of salmon here and there. And it's not expensive, I love making salmon with different types of seasonings, different ways and stuff, and barbecuing or oven or pan frying, whatever, salmon with a nice brown rice or a nicer I have applesauce with every meal. You can't, just so you know, my wife.
I remember you like your applesauce.
I remember years ago one time I was dating my wife and we sat down. She's over my house and down to get something to eat. We were eating and there was no applesauce. And I got up out of my seat and I got in my car. I went to the store, I bought applesauce and bought it back. I must have applesauce with every meal, especially spaghetti.
Wow.
Sometimes I combine my applesauce with what I'm eating.
Wow. That's
I don't know why that is.
Oh, that's unique.
You know, the average American, you ready for this number? The average American consumes about 30 pounds of hamburgers a year.
Ooh, wow.
More than 7 of every 10 burgers, at 73% or 9.6 billion consumed in the U.S. were prepared and purchased out of the home at restaurants.
Wow.
There's a Hamburger Hall of Fame in Wisconsin.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fascinating. Do you believe in the idea that our bodies will tell us what it needs when it needs it?
No.
You don't?
Okay. I don't because, your body might want to be ate lettuce and tomato, but you just keep feeding it McDonald's burgers.
Well, yeah, I think there's just plain ignorance at the end of the day.
Your body comes out and says, can I have a menu, please? What?
I have, because, women that have been pregnant had these very, very weird cravings.
That's a craving. That's a craving.
Yes.
But the thing is, where does that craving – now, here's the thing. Now, here's the interesting thing. And I understand what you're saying about the craving and pregnancy and all that. I've been pregnant myself. No, excuse me. No, I understand.
I've found it on many occasions, I tell you.
Yeah, amazing. We'll talk. Anyway, No, but I understand that craving thing. And you get, you know, whether you're pregnant or not, male or female, you get craving for certain things. Let me run this by you.
Yes. Yeah.
You're pregnant. No, I mean you're pregnant.
Thank you for the diagnosis, Dr. Kimball. I'll be sure to double check that.
So was it fun?
Oh yes, it was. It was that much fun that I couldn't remember the event at all.
Remember it. It was so much fun. All right. Okay. Anyway. Oh gosh. All right. What was I going to say? Do you remember? What were we talking about?
You were talking about cravings.
Oh yeah, craving. Well, yeah. You know that exactly. Where's that come from? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now. Anyway. So what were we talking about? Craving. Craving food. Yes. We'll talk about the other in a minute. But anyway. No. So let's say, for example, you have a craving for ice cream. Your body tells you, this is your body telling you that you should have ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you never had ice cream, would your body still tell you you want ice cream? If you never had ice cream in your life, your body's telling you what it needs. How would it tell you what, if it doesn't know what ice cream is, how would it tell you you need ice cream?
Well, maybe the body would, if it hadn't had it, possibly not.
I know
but
what it
if you
does.
Think about it.
I got it. I got the answer. Your body delivers you a message. If it never has ice cream, it gives you a message. It says, I need 2 cups of sugar, 3 cups of cream, 2 cups of cocoa. And gives you the recipe, and you better go cook it up, God damn it.
Yeah, I think it's just more the like you say, the ingredients within that. Like, you know, in ice cream, there's dairy, right? So if your body is craving dairy and you're looking at ice cream, you've never had ice cream, maybe you're looking at it thinking, okay, well, I've got this craving for this, but I'm not sure where it's coming from. I'm going to try it. Because there's been I've looked at foods before, and I've not wanted to try them at all over the years. And then I'll suddenly look at one day and I'll be like, something in me is saying, I really want to try this. Like, I need to try this. Mm-hmm. And when I do, I'm like so satisfied. Like, why didn't I like this before? And then I get a taste for it. But, you know, you could argue, how deep does that go? Is that my body saying, well, I need something within that food, that intelligence in my body saying, you know, I need something within that food. I don't know. It's a possibility, right? I mean, I try to keep open-minded with these things, at least. But, you know, because women have eaten coal when they've been pregnant years ago. And, you know, that's not a natural thing by any means for someone to sit there eating coal. But a doctor would say to you, well, that's because the body's telling you it needs the iron and other elements from that coal that, you know, is giving the body what it needs during that trial of pregnancy. And sorry, not trial term. Trial.
You know, it could be a trial. It depends on how you interpret that.
Yeah, it
could
be on trial.
it could be a trial. Yeah. But just to be clear, you're not pregnant. Just to me.
No.
Just wanna,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank
just
you.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Here I come to save a day.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Well, it's so good to catch up with you. So, tell me about your weekend.
Oh, the weekend was glorious. Yeah, I spent it out in the sun. I spent it with family and friends and drinking and, you know, having a merry old time. And I got to say, it was gorgeous because, you know, I've been so long without I'm not going to say connection because obviously I'm in touch with family and friends and whatever, but what I'm saying is being in that environment, being so relaxed and not worrying about, you know, the virus and are we safe and, you know, knowing that things felt normal again for that period of time was such a beautiful feeling. And we had a laugh. We had a real laugh. I saw my little nephew. My goodness.
How old is your nephew now?
He's approaching 3. So he's getting there, bless him, but
His name's not Diana, is it?
Oh, no, he's not Diana, no. But he certainly is.
I just
want to
see if it was a thing there where everybody's naming their kids boy or girl after the late princess. I just want to see what that was about.
Yeah, and they call their next son something like Edward or Charles. No,
can you imagine like a teacher in school, you know, second and third grade, you know, and the teacher asks a question, and all these kids raise their hand, and most of them are all named Diana, boy or girl. Diana, go.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that's funny. I can just see that happening.
An interesting visual.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good.
Yeah, but anyway, so it sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember last Monday we were talking about what I did that weekend. I had no recollection what I did that weekend either. What is it about me and weekends? So they just go by and I have no idea what I did.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it was so in depth for you. I don't know.
I did go car shopping. That's Tony. I went car shopping yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a crisis in this country right now regarding inventory. There is no inventory. There's nothing out there. The lots are empty here in L.A. And I heard the same thing across the country. But the reason being is because of COVID slowed down production of automobiles drastically, tremendously.
Wow.
And people bought up used cars. And I'm looking for like a electric vehicle or a plug-in hybrid type of vehicle. I have a Tesla electric.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to avoid a gas vehicle if I can do it. And gas prices in California, USD, we're looking at $4.49, $4.39 a gallon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you have liters there. You have liters, right? So
we do. Yeah.
What's the gas? What's the cost of a liter there?
I think it's been a while since I've been driving. I've been off the road for about a year and a half. But the last time I was driving, I think it was £1.20 something, maybe £1.30 something.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's
right?
Not
or
bad at all. I mean,
oh, no, wait. Per liter. It's per liter.
Oh, yeah, this is per liter. Yeah.
Right? I got to tell you something interesting. My first time driving in California, going way back here, first time I ever drove in California. Not in California. Canada.
Yeah.
Not California. I pulled up to the gas pump and it said, you know, $1.19. That's so cheap. It's so much cheaper than the U.S. And I got this incredible bill for my fuel because it was liters, not gallons. Whoa, it was more than U.S. I was like, oh, my God, I thought it was $1 or something. Son, it's not per gallon, it's per liter. Ooh.
Yeah, if that was per gallon, that'd be amazing, but no.
Do you believe we're about ready to wrap this up? Do you know we have to get out of here in a minute? I can't believe it. This has been so much fun.
It has. It's gone quick, as usual.
It goes way too fast.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I have to go out, and I will not be back until after sundown tomorrow.
Oh, okay, darling. I've taken this step. No problem, sweetie.
Thank you. And we have three shows. Monday show, we went a little late today, but the Wednesday we're at 8 p.m. in UK, and Friday we're at 8 p.m. in UK, and in the Eastern time, that's 3 p.m. Eastern time,
yeah.
Wednesday and Friday, and of course noon here in California. And
we'll
look forward to continuing our conversation, catching everybody up on the news. And it was kind of a pleasure not to talk too much about the news today, but for some things I definitely want to go over. We'll do it Wednesday. Amanda, so great catching up with you again. Take us home.
And
you
too, sir. Okay. No, thank you. So on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK, thank you so much for joining us for another show. And we hope you join us on Wednesday for a very, very fun show. And I love your faces. And thank you for listening. And take care. Keep smiling. And have a great week.
Yes, folks, do that. Remember, you can always join us live at 515-605-9888. We'll see you on the Wednesday show. Take care now.
Bye.
World an oyster in your stew. You know you got a hungry friend. Favorite horse.
process turned to glue. Now can you see about the end? Well, when life ain't worth the time, ain't no fun. You got to jump out the window. And trouble, trouble. Round your doors, darkest day, chimney door. Favorite horse has turned it loose, satisfaction.